alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Her Hajj Journey. Today I'm joined by Sister Naima B. Roberts and Talha, and in this series we'll be discussing what Hajj is like from a Muslim woman's perspective, both in the past and now in the present, inshallah. Hopefully we'll be sharing some tips and tricks, so let's start, inshallah. Let's start right at the beginning with Hajar and Ismail alayhi salam. We all know the story of Hajar alayhi salam, and when Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, left her in the desert, or was commanded by Allah to leave her in the desert. Let's talk about that story a little bit and touch on the patience and the strength of Hajar alayhi salam, Talha.
Bismillah, subhanAllah. The story of Hajar alayhi salam really takes me back to my own Hajj experience, because I remember when we were planning for the Hajj experience, Hajj journey, my husband was going to be with me, but then changes happened and he was appointed to be the Hajj guide. So I was thinking to myself, subhanAllah, I'm taking my son and he's not going to be with us because he has to lead the Hajj group. And then that story really resonated with me, because Hajar alayhi salam did not have Ibrahim alayhi salam at all. She was just left there and she had to just get on with it. So I think for a believing woman, we take that lesson from her story, is that the experience of Hajj is really a personal one, and it's a connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you cannot do without having tawakkul. So that's a great lesson that I took from Hajar alayhi salam. And when we look at the way she was so confident in the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that really prepares any woman for that special journey. So that's what I took away from Hajar alayhi salam. And every time you read about her story, you think about her strength and her resilience and how she responded to different changes that took place. When she asked Ibrahim alayhi salam, where are you leaving? And then he could not say anything. And then she asked him, is this a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when he affirmed, then she said, Allah will not let us down. And that, subhanAllah, served as a great confidence for any Muslim woman, that Allah will not let you down because you're on His path.
SubhanAllah, I can imagine being in that situation, going on Hajj. I mean, how old was your child at that time?
He was 3 years of age.
SubhanAllah. So imagine going on Hajj with your child that's 3 years old, and then all of a sudden, last minute, you're told, okay, your husband's not going to be, well, as supportive now because he's leading the entire group. So that really does resonate with the story of Hajar alayhi salam. I mean, of course, it's, you know, a much bigger impact she would be facing. She's on her own in the desert. But it really does, you know, teach us how important tawakkul and trusting in Allah. And I'm sure, subhanAllah, with Hajj, I'm sure there's loads of unexpected things that occur. You know, it's a spiritual journey. And, you know, because it's such, you know, Allah is definitely going to test us through this. What do you take from the story of Hajar?
Bismillah. I think definitely you mentioned that it's a spiritual journey, and it is a spiritual, emotional, physical and mental journey. And one of the things I remember reflecting on when I went for Hajj was just how closely tied Hajar alayhi salam and her husband and the family of Ibrahim actually are to the whole Hajj ritual, from the Kaaba itself to Safa and Marwa, to the du'as that we make. You know, it really reminded me of something that, especially people who are not very familiar with Islam, or even us as Muslims sometimes, we forget Hajj is one of the pillars, right? And one of the founders of many of the rites of Hajj is the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I was fascinated to know her history and how she was a servant in the house of the king in Egypt. And subhanAllah, from nowhere, she's a servant, she's doing her thing, as servants do, and from nowhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses her to be the one that the king gifts to Ibrahim alayhi salam when he sends him away with Sarah. And she ends up being married to a prophet, being the mother of a prophet, and the grandmother of our prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one woman from those humble beginnings, just doing what a believing woman does, which is trusting in Allah, obeying her husband, and looking after her child. Look at how she's been raised in the ranks for the rest of humanity, really, for the rest of history. So it really is a huge wake-up call, really. I found it very, very profound to find that connection with her, because I hadn't thought of it that way before.
Also, subhanAllah, one cannot complete their Hajj rituals without following her footsteps. And of course, you know, we know the whole Hajj experience is the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're answering the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But like what Naima is saying, Hajar alayhi salam, you know, her running from Safa to Marwa, you know, this is an act that we all do if we go on Hajj. And without it, your Hajj is incomplete. But what Naima was saying, subhanAllah, when you reflect upon her story from being a humble servant, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upgraded her to a woman who is married to one of the greatest prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and who gave birth to a very, like, you know, much wanted child, you know, Ismail alayhi salam.
That's true, yeah.
Who, subhanAllah, left a legacy of the Kaaba building with his father.
Yeah.
So it's huge, like what Naima is saying, the whole entire family, they have a great association with the Kaaba and the rituals of Hajj.
I mean, I guess it's a testament to how beloved that one action of obeying Allah and obeying her husband and just having that full trust, you know, is a testament to the fact that till today, you know, we remember Hajar alayhi salam and we follow, like he said, in her footsteps, subhanAllah. But just from the perspective of a mother, let's try and put ourselves in her shoes at that time, having to, you know, actually, what do you feel like is going through her mind at that point when, you know, her husband's left and her baby's crying and she's in a state of anxiety and worry and, you know, she's looking for water or something to feed her child? What do you think was going through her mind at that point? And how can we relate that to, you know, a mother? I mean, you said you took your child. I'm not sure if you maybe took children.
Certainly not.
I can imagine why. But let's put ourselves in her shoes.
You know, one thing that comes to mind is that whenever things happen according to, say, the plan of Allah, not according to what you imagined, the thing that really strikes me about Hajar alayhi salam is that her willingness to submit, complete submission. And subhanAllah, when you completely submit to the will of Allah, there is an element of peace that you feel because you think, okay, you know what, this is what it is, and I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to make it work. And this is the essence of Hajj. Hajj is one of the most wonderful experiences, but things don't go according to your plan. There's delays, there's incidents, unexpected incidents, there's crowds, there's so much you're dealing with. But when you submit to the will of Allah, everything becomes easy to deal with because you realize this is what Hajj is about.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you because everybody has literally their own Hajj journey. Mm. And this is something that, I mean, in answer to your question about, you know, being a mother, that's one, for me, one of the reasons why Hajar alayhi salam's story is so relatable, because we can all imagine being in that space. We've all been in a space where our child is upset and for some reason we cannot give them what they need. And when I used to read the story, I thought Safa and Marwa were like two little hills. You know, it just says, oh, she ran up one hill, ran up another hill, she ran seven times. And you think, oh, that's cute, going from hill to hill. Yeah. Have you done Sa'i before? Mm. Have you seen the distance from Safa to Marwa? And you think she actually was you know, searching, trying to find the means. And she had left her child and she had nothing else except the help of Allah. And, you know, that... Just that relatable story of a mother willing to, as you said, just to do anything that she had to do in order to, you know, to save her child.
Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned was this journey, right? And I think for me, one of the biggest lessons I took from Hajj was how at one point the Hajj makes you see how insignificant you are because you're just one of thousands upon thousands of Maharim there doing exactly the same thing as you, almost exactly the same intention. So on the one hand, you're reminded of your insignificance. But on the other hand, when I thought to myself, if I utter a dua in this moment, my Rabb hears me. And every single one of the du'as that I make on my Hajj and every du'a of every other person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. And that He has crafted for me personally, you and everyone else, your own Hajj journey with its own challenges, the own people that you meet along the way, you know, the gems that you take from it personally. So on the one hand, so insignificant, but on the other hand, so beautifully personal and intimate. It was just a revelation for me because I hadn't expected that.
Yeah, I think on that point I would say, subhanAllah, Naima, you know, what people don't realize, every time, you know, people go on Hajj, you are a special, like, VIP. Why? Because you're the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think about that, you should have a different attitude. Because when you go to somebody's house as a guest, you're not going to behave anyhow. You're not going to complain. You're going to be happy and graceful because you're just chuffed that you're a guest, you know? So I think when you entertain those ideas, then it really does help you to cope with the changes, the unexpected, the disappointments, you know. And I think when you entertain that in your mind, then it becomes easy for you to emulate the footsteps of Hajar alayhi salam. Because, yeah, as you know, she was not aware what's going on, and the, like, you know, act of going from Safa to Marwa, she had no idea what was happening. At least with us, we know, okay, we have to do seven and that's it, we're
and
done.
And it's only seven, and then you're done, seven, right? Yes. And you can rest. But she had no clue whether she would find what she was looking for.
She trusted in Allah, and she made that effort to find, you know, water, and she didn't give up. She carried on, she persevered. And I think, you know, that's probably something that we can take with us on Hajj as well for sisters. It's about perseverance and trusting in Allah and just going with the flow and knowing that we're here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah has called us and given us this honor. So let's just trust and persevere and, you know, go with the flow, really, inshallah.
Yeah. And I think when you're on Hajj, subhanAllah, when I did this Hajj workshop preparation, I used to always stress how when you are going on Hajj, you have to bear in mind there's going to be certain challenges. Like Allah says, you know, wala jidal, you know, not to argue. Hajj is one of those times where you have every opportunity to argue with people. Mm-hmm. The lights are off, switch it on. You know, the water queue. You know, there's always these incidents, and you have to really zip your mouth because you don't want to get into any type of argument. Sometimes, just by engaging in a conversation, you find that you get dragged into a argument that's taking place, especially in the tents of Mina. So you really have to bear in mind, okay, you know what, this is a personal spiritual journey for me, and I have to be very mindful that I need to look after myself and not get involved in things that doesn't concern me. And that's something that you have to really be mindful of.
Definitely. Let's take a break, inshallah, and then we'll resume after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back from the break. Right, let's touch on the spiritual aspect of going on Hajj, especially for a Muslim woman. Sister Naima, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I'm going to be honest. Before going on Hajj, I was actually terrified of going on Hajj. I didn't want to go because I had in my head that it needed to be this huge spiritual experience. And if it wasn't, then I was going to have failed and it would be a huge disappointment. And I was like, I need to be ready. Qadar Allah, we just got an email and it was an offer and it was half term. And then Bismillah, that was how the door opened. But when I knew that I was going for Hajj, I was like, okay, I'm not going to leave this to chance. I'm not going to just go and see what happens. I'm going to make sure as much as I can that I truly benefit from this inside, spiritually, with my connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously reading up on everything helps. You know, being aware of what's going to happen helps. Being really well-versed with the reward for doing different things and where those things came from, the different actions and the rites, mm-hmm. It really helps. But one of the things that I found to be so useful to me was deciding to be in a quiet, reflective space for as much of the Hajj as possible. Mm. So really making a decision to speak less, to observe more, to make dua more. I had a book of du'as that I was constantly going through. I wrote down my favorites. I did Hajj journaling, so I was constantly in my little book, just thinking, reflecting, you know, sharing my thoughts on the page. And it really helped me at so many different points in the journey. I would say especially, you know, first getting to Mina, especially Arafah. Arafah was huge, which we probably will talk about, because I think making the most of Arafah can be hard if you're not spiritually prepared, right? Mm-hmm. And then just throughout the whole journey, just making that decision to be still, to be in the moment, to be reflective and to be concentrating on my intention and why I'm here. Mm. I think that gives your experience an edge.
Yeah. I think you hit a really good point. I think it's about mindset, because I don't think you're the only person who probably was terrified of going to Hajj, or, you know, thought they're not ready. To be honest, I mean, I've never been, I probably feel the same. There's always this kind of thing of, I feel a lot of the time people feel like they have to be at a certain level or a certain, you know, spiritual level, or, you know, certain level of piety to go on Hajj. Mm-hmm. But subhanAllah, you didn't plan to go. It just, Allah called you, you know, subhanAllah. And I mean, that in itself is an honor. Hajj, going to Hajj is an honor, but Allah calling you unexpectedly like that is an even greater honor. So I think really it's about mindset and putting yourself, putting your mind in a state of, I'm going on this journey, and what do I want to get from this journey? And I mean, I haven't been on Hajj, like I said before, but you guys did mention that there is a lot of space between a lot of the ritual acts. So there's time, you know, for you to actually do journaling and contemplate. And if you don't prepare and kind of get ready and think about what you're going to do in that time, then, you know, there will be time for waste, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's very important that you prepare yourself spiritually. I think we see people do really well preparing for, you know, their travel, but you have to prepare for the journey.
That's a really good point.
And the preparing of the journey takes way before the actual travel, and that has to be one that is taken, you know, care of mentally, spiritually, and even physically. You know, there's a lot of walking, you know, that takes place. Mm. So getting your physical fitness helps. Obviously, we'll save the tips for the later. Yeah. But one thing I have to say is the whole mindset of being, like, spiritually, you know, prepared for this whole journey. Because sometimes you will see in Hajj, there are people who are there so close to the Kaaba, yet they're so far spiritually. Then you have people who are here, who are so close to the Kaaba spiritually, yet so far. So it's really a journey of the heart. And subhanAllah, when you look at people who really prepare spiritually by doing the journaling or making dua or learning the adhkar, you see the experience they have is very different. I mean, one of the things that really pushed me to prepare when I knew I was going on Hajj, and it came about as a result of, you know, we had this, you know, family, you know, a difficult period, and then alhamdulillah, Hajj was like a reward for us. So we went on this journey, and before, you know, we embarked on this journey, I knew for a fact that it's either I go with my son Talha or we don't go. And I didn't want to delay Hajj. I wanted to go while I'm fit and healthy. And this is another thing that we have in our community. You do Hajj when you're like a pensioner. No.
Yeah.
You should do Hajj when you're fit, able, and you have the means. Because it's one of the pillars, like Sister Naima said. And, you know, if you go at a time where you can walk and you can, you know, enjoy the experience, the better it is for you, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember many people would say to me, Sister Rizzi, Hajj is difficult as it is. Why are you taking your child? You know, it's going to be more difficult. And those kind of comments used to really make me feel like I need to make lots of du'as. Mm. And I used to always ask Allah, Ya Allah, make it easy for me. And I used to, like, feel a sense of anxiety, because I used to think, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, what am I going to do? You know, and then, you know, I realized that, you know, not only I'm taking my son, but my husband's not going to be with me. But subhanAllah, just like Hajj, when you have tawakkul in Allah, when you ask Allah, He never lets you down, and He doesn't. This is a promise of Allah. I used to find, as we are doing our rituals, I would be pushing the buggy. And you know, Muzdalifah is not a place to be pushing your buggy. From nowhere, one of the brothers would come and just lift the buggy and just help. And I think, subhanAllah, how the help comes. And this is what it is, what Allah says, you know, in the Quran, you know, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has conscience of Allah, Allah carves a way out. And that's one thing that I would really encourage people to have, that total reliance on Allah, not on the Hajj package that you're going with. Because, you know, you're not going to have everything to your expectation, but that's where you have to think, you know, I'm the guest of Allah. Whatever Allah gives, I'm going to accept. Just like Hajar alayhi salam. And then you'll see the experience will be like Hajar alayhi salam, inshallah.
Inshallah. What about the actual physical aspect of Hajj for a woman? I mean, you mentioned that it's quite hard on the body, or there's a lot of walking, there's a lot of, you know, how, what is that like for a woman? I mean, is it different to a man in a sense, like, you know, what's the physical aspect like for a woman?
It is hard, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that for a woman, Hajj is the jihad.
Yeah,
it is hard, the walking, being patient when you're being pushed and shoved, you know, this is just the reality. Being patient with the people, the crowd, and at times you're exhausted, you're tired, and on top of that you have to do certain rites which can be very tiring on the body.
Yeah.
Sometimes people fall ill, you know, sometimes, you know, and there are long delays, sometimes an argument breaks out.
Mm.
So you're seeing all of this, and sometimes you see things that you shouldn't be seeing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think definitely we need to be real about that, because for sure there is an element of, there is this high, lofty spiritual journey that's happening,
mm-hmm.
but there's also the reality of thousands of people from all over the world, from different backgrounds, crammed into really quite a small space.
Yeah.
Mina is cramped, you know, for what it is and for how many people are actually there using the facilities, you know, eating in the streets, doing all of the stuff. Mm. So like you
different
said...
Different habits that you have to deal
people
with.
People got their different habits, their different standards for hygiene. Mm. There's a lot of that. And of course, the delays, the waiting, right? So those things, that's the real life on the ground experience of Hajj.
Yeah.
And you can't really avoid that. I think most of us
can't.
Try to buy our way out of it by getting a higher package.
No.
But certain things, Muzdalifah is going to take you down.
Yeah.
Okay, there doesn't matter what package you had, mashallah. And the thing is, I remember in Muzdalifah, I have to admit, Muzdalifah was a low point for me. It was hard because of the toilet situation, because of sleeping on the ground, okay, and just, you know, the general vibe of it all. But then again, you always come back to, what's the lesson? What's the purpose?
Mm.
What could be so amazing about this? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to teach me? And when you look at every aspect of your journey with those eyes, what can I take from this?
Yeah.
What can I learn from this? How is this good for me?
Mm.
You see the benefit. Yeah. So Muzdalifah, for example, is a reminder of your humility before Allah.
Yeah.
You know, of, you know,
you're
that tawakkul, right?
To
no, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, and reduced.
That just having that humility, that patience,
that just
breathing through it and just making the decision to say it's only a night.
Yeah.
Inna ma'al usri yusra. It's only a night. And it does, you come out different.
Yeah.
The morning of Muzdalifah, you're a different person, I believe.
Yeah.
That was,
no,
what
definitely,
it was like for me.
Because one thing that I think to myself, oh my God, Muzdalifah, there's no tents. Everyone's just going to just rest out in the open. How is that going to happen? Subhanallah, you're so exhausted and tired, you don't even think about that. When you're there, you're flat out, you know, and basically, because you've got things that needs to be done, so you don't think about, okay, you know, and it really reminds you of the hadith of the Prophet when Aisha asked, Ya Rasulullah, how is it going to be on the Day of Judgment? And he said that, you know, everyone's going to be barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised. And she was like, would there be people looking at each other? And the Prophet said, no, the situation is too intense.
Yeah.
Muzdalifah, it reminds you of that, where the brothers, sisters, everyone just flat out, and no one's looking at anyone because everyone's so exhausted and knocked out.
And when you make it through Muzdalifah, that morning of Muzdalifah, when you're going to the Jamarat, I just remember feeling so powerful, subhanallah, like, we made it through. You in the moment you thought, I can't do this.
Crashed.
I'm done. I'm done. You know, but subhanAllah, then you wake up the next morning, you make wudu, you pray, you're on your way to the Jamarat, you're like, yes, mashallah, tabarakallah. We're moving forward, you know, it's very powerful.
It's true. It really does make you realize, subhanAllah, you know, Allah is taking care of me and it is going to be okay. And you feel like so like down, and then you feel really like, you know, up, and as if you feel like your sins have shed, and you feel this sense of lightness, you know, alhamdulillah. But it is, I'm telling you, it is physically demanding.
Yeah, we want to be fit. Yeah. Definitely you want to be fit. I didn't find it to be too bad. I think if you have the right footwear, we'll talk all about tips in another episode.
I mean, we'll look at the tips after.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask is because as women, I mean, naturally our bodies are different, especially when you're a mother, I mean, with your child as well. But just generally as a woman, in terms of, you know, just walking around and that physical aspect, it can be very difficult. And even just, you know, like you said, it's extremely crowded. There can be some types of harassment sometimes. But we'll talk about that in the coming episodes and how to deal with that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for joining us for this episode. Inshallah, we will see you next week with episode 2, where we'll be talking about Lady Evelyn and what it's like for reverts in the past and now to go on Hajj. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.